This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Today, a Mr. Beast cast member goes trans, and why you should care. Joe Biden is still helping Hunter work shady business dealings, and an update on the Ukraine document leaker. We've got all of that and more coming up, and it all starts right now. Welcome to the News and Why It Matters. Happy Friday. I am Sarah Gonzalez, and Dylan Mulvaney may have some competition soon at the most obnoxious trans influencer ever, because there's another dude dressing up like a woman here in town. This time it is Chris Tyson, one of the recurring cast members on the Mr. Beast YouTube channel. The channel has over 144 million subscribers and is the fourth largest channel on the YouTube platform. Its content is extremely popular among, of course, young boys. Now, Tyson, who is currently married but publicly separated from his wife, gee, I wonder why, has a 2-year-old son. He has now decided he is trans. After fans noticed his altering appearance and started asking questions, mainly, what the hell happened to you? He confirmed that he believes himself to now be trans and is undergoing hormone replacement therapy, which he claims on his Twitter account is life-saving care. Now, a deep dive into his Twitter account shows he seems to be a very dark, disturbed individual, and we'll get into that. But before we do, if you're not a big YouTuber, you may be asking yourself, why do I care about some YouTube channel that I don't watch? Why does this matter to me? Well, because not only is this the fourth largest YouTube account, it's also included in YouTube Kids. In fact, one of our producers here at Blaze TV opened the YouTube Kids app only to see a Mr. Beast video staring back at him right there in his recommended section. Now, personally, I don't have the YouTube Kids app because my kids stay the hell away from YouTube, period. I don't trust that YouTube's morals align with mine and that they will know what's truly age appropriate for my kids. Hell, we don't even have an iPad at my house, but I realize I'm not the mainstream parent. Millions of kids will be subtly indoctrinated into this lifestyle, watching one of their role models transform from a, I don't know, I would say reasonably looking masculine man to a Dylan Mulvaney looking creature, as you can see here. But when it comes to who your children are looking up to, this story gets a whole lot darker than that. And here to help me break it all down are Eric July, Blaze TV contributor and founder and owner of Ripaverse Comics, and John Doyle, Blaze TV contributor and host of Heck Off Commie. This guy is... he's creepy, okay? And we've gone through the whole Leah Thomas, AGM, I don't even... AGP, autogynephilic, I think is how you say it. I don't, honestly, I never knew what these terms were until we started going into this trans thing. And I was like, wow, I wish I didn't know what these terms are, but now I do. And this is a new one for me as well. So some of these tweets that were unearthed, gentlemen, I had to look up some new terms, and let's go to this one from 2016 that is nothing gets my knob a cranking like some lolly. Now, I didn't know what that was, but apparently we were talking about it before the program too. John, is this correct? It is a young looking girl character in Japanese anime.
First, I really don't appreciate that you pivoted to me as like the expert on that.
So, John, being that you are the lolly expert, could you tell us what it is and how much of it is on your computer?
No. Oh. You ever seen Joker when he produces a handgun and kills the host? That's how I feel like. The reason I am familiar with it is because my political opposition is like, it's rampant in their community, particularly like some of these bigger Twitch streamers and YouTubers. They like love this stuff because they're all like sexually degenerate, and you can't entertain that without eventually targeting children, as the American people are waking up to. But yeah, it's basically a way to like circumvent, I guess, laws and standards that would dissuade people from looking at pornography containing children. Their excuse is like, oh, well, it's drawn, so it's not hurting anybody. But it's like, well, you're still entertaining the idea in your brain of it. And so there's something obviously wrong and demented with you that is going to lead to further harm in the future. So,
Eric, how much do you know about it?
Well, I know it's weird.
I mean, it's basically like I mean, he's basically saying I am attracted to young girls in anime form.
Yeah, potentially. Look, man, everything these days is that, you know, we had this conversation years ago. You would have been certainly destroyed in the event that that's, you know, something that you admitted publicly, though. This, to be fair, this person absolutely did on their own Twitter. But things have become more and more normalized. So people are certainly more confident, and I think that's what this new sort of degeneracy has introduced, in people being far more confident, bold, or emboldened to do goofy stuff like this. But man, the dynamic, I guess, is what's most intriguing about this for me. Yeah, this guy's weird. When you look at some of the old tweets, you say these things about against feminism, I guess, in opposition to, I think, a family member, or was his sister or something like that. And now he's having the position it is that this person was going through some odd stuff. I feel very bad for that child, considering that they have to watch their father go through this nonsense. And it seems like I don't know much about what's going on with their relationship, but clearly they're not together. And like you said at the beginning of the show, I wonder why.
Right.
Does that have anything to do with it? But the dynamic with Mr. Beast, and he has had historically members that have kind of come and gone with him. But they recently posted some video of them going through like some mystery box thing. And this, I don't know, what are they still going by Chris? Do
it's
we know?
Chris.
All right. So Chris.
That's the name that's on his, okay, all of his social medias.
Mama named him Chris. I'm going to call him Chris. but Chris is dressed up like this chick, I guess, now. And even like
that's horrifying.
Mr. B looks kind of uncomfortable as they're like, because he has to know the writing's on the wall. If you actually have that attached, what do they call it? The deal that you can get where you can see the downvotes on these Twitter videos.
Yeah.
This is like his most disliked video that he's ever had.
Yep.
Now, take dislikes for whatever you want it to mean, but it does show that there's something. How he's going to navigate this is going to be very interesting, because to your point, maybe people that don't watch his YouTube or watch YouTubes in general, he is a massive YouTuber. Anything that he touches is getting millions of views off the rip. It doesn't matter what it is that he's doing. He's done a lot of stuff that's been kind of in philanthropy space. It's gotten him in trouble, ironically, with leftists. And I don't know if this is a ploy to try to get those guys back on his side or what have you. I'm not going to say that it is. But when you look and see how uncomfortable he is, it's like he's thinking through it, like, this might just derail. If I keep this guy around, it might derail everything it is that I have, because we're watching someone who was something completely different change into this. And it's just degenerate nonsense. And people are seeing this in all forms of different media. And I think people are starting to be over this. But yeah, of course, they're going to target young people. I don't know if that specific video is going to be in the YouTube kids. I don't know. But of course, they are targeting young people. We already knew that. And they're very gullible, very impressionable. So maybe it sounds goofy, but I don't know if someone's going to look, hey, I like this guy. He was part of his cast.
Right.
And I'm going to adopt that. I would hope we have enough some parents that can stop that from happening. I would like to think that Mr. Beast isn't raising their children. But yeah, it's something worth paying attention to. This is culture in action.
Well, I mean, speaking of, you know, parenting, This guy is now his kid, poor kid. He's two, and he's already, he posted something on Twitter that was like, I posted this picture on my Snapchat and I saw some pretty rude comments. Say anything you want about me, I don't care, but anything towards Tucker will be an immediate block. And it's a picture of his young son wearing female girls' shoes with the caption, Tucker chose to slay this morning.
He didn't choose that. I mean, if he did, it was like incidental. Like, look, you know, these shoes, they fit on my feet. It's not like he's trying to make some sort of statement. I mean, it's a two-year-old child, but such a grand display of narcissism by this guy, where his like weird sexual perversion is now taking precedence over his role as a husband and as a father. I mean, his poor wife, like when you make that vow to somebody, that doesn't change for literally, I mean, any reason, let alone just like, I think I'm a woman now, and so I'm going to like play dress up and, you know, LARP is this caricature of like what it means to be a woman. It's so delusional, and the hormones too. I mean, what other condition is there where your psychological state requires like a physical cosmetic surgery to be performed. I mean, if I went to the doctor and said, I want to be a pirate, you have to cut my hand off. They'd be like, well, that's ridiculous. I would have to give myself some sort of like diabetic condition or maybe get frostbite or something to the point where they would then amputate it. But there's no other condition where your psychological state warrants medical intervention to the point of surgery being conducted, like on your body and otherwise healthy tissue and healthy parts. It's just insane.
Yeah, I just, this poor child and this poor wife who, as you mentioned, you know, marriage is supposed to be forever, but not only that, she apparently was, she's an influencer herself, I guess that's how they met, but she is a devout Christian. I mean, can you imagine just how gutted you would feel?
That's the worst part of this whole thing, and I don't want to lose sight of that. That we're basically a family was broken up, and I don't know what certainly led up to this guy having these just crazy ideas. But yeah, I mean, look at the culture that the West in particular, America, has fostered that has allowed someone to even think that that is something that is permissible. And nobody, like, of course, the people that are into that movement, alphabet community, or maybe are going to pat them on the back, hey, you're living your life. And they're not even going to look at, well, we just watched a family perhaps get ruined out of this whole ordeal. Is that something that you care about? Of course not. They're not even discussing it. It's not up for the dispute or anything out. But that's the most sad part of this, that now we have a broken up family all because this guy's going through whatever psychological nonsense that he's going through. And he's done it to the part to where he's going to now LARP as a woman, as this influencer on YouTube. And yeah, it's awesome. He's just, this guy is now living out his whatever. He's being himself, is what these idiot activists would say.
Quite the opposite.
But we just saw a family get destroyed because of it. And I guess that lets you know how degenerate it actually is, because their side doesn't even discuss that part of it, because they look at that as, okay, whatever. So what, a child, parents are split, and the father is now, I don't know, what do you call?
Is he still a father? I mean, I would say yes. I don't know what they would say.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
I know.
That's confusing the children.
They probably even view that as a victory. I mean, they literally hate families.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's not even like, you know, the left hates them. It's like, yes, but if you read like their theory, they talk about how the family is an institution designed to traumatize and like control children, which is why they need to be basically given to the state to make good citizens, in the sense that they're like, you know, open-minded and liberal and supporting democracy and things like that. I feel so bad for the American public who are just getting a glimpse as to like how these communities actually operate. If you go back and read like what's regarded to be like queer political theory, they write very openly about how the family is an institution designed to traumatize children, whereas pedophilia is something good because it's an act of love on children that the family has to defend. Like, they're very open about all of this. And the further you get into this, or I should say maybe as the society becomes more tolerant and less oppressive of these ideas, you're just going to see this get far worse. Like, even far worse than the most insane caricature of this culture that, like, a Baptist preacher from the 80s would have delivered.
So to your point, news today that Democrats in Washington state have passed a new law that would allow shelters that take in runaway children to not notify the parents if the child is seeking sex change procedures or an abortion. So it already passed the House, it's Democrat-controlled House, and it all the Senate has to do, the Senate had already voted to pass it, but there was an amendment that the House added, and so the Senate has to vote on that amendment, basically, before it heads to the governor's desk to be signed. So it's like, hello?
Yeah.
They don't want you to be the parent. They want to be the parent. They want the state to be the parent. And whatever the state says is all the radical ideology that the state signs on to, because they love the chaos and they love the confusion. They are going to be the parent. They are determined to make that happen.
What was that chick's name? I think her name was Sarah Jones. She wrote like an op-ed not too long ago on the New York Post, where she was basically saying that, you know, trying to conflate this idea of children being property. And she was saying that that is the position of folks like ourselves who just want to be normal parents. And they said that, well, you guys are looking at children as property. And it really goes to show how they're trying to demonize really the concept of what we look at as a normal parent and what their actual responsibilities are supposed to be. And they find such issue with that. I mean, they were going as far, the same person that wrote in that same article, going as far as to say, like, you know, in Arkansas, they're allowing like younger people to start working again, like I don't know it was when we were growing up, because I know I had my first job 14, 15 years old. You can't do that anymore. But she was acting like that was just such a crime for them to be able to do that and
teach them responsibility. Yeah,
they're going to probably learn more about financial responsibility literacy. Being having an actual job than they are in these rotten schools that they're certainly going to. But I think that's what they're so scared of. And I think they now understand, like, if we can just make it seem like it's a fundamental problem to have the responsibilities and exercise those said responsibilities of being a parent, protecting that child, preserving their innocence, all of that. If they can try to somehow criminalize that in some kind of way, they think they're on to something.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. We will be back with more. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Genucel. So, you know, I don't know, you could go to Brazil or Colombia or somewhere else and get like crazy stuff done to your face to try to make yourself look younger, but you don't need to do that. You can just use Genucel. This is something I use multiple products of theirs every day. My favorite is their Immediate Effects Eye Cream. You put it under your eye and you literally feel the difference right away. They've also got things, products for eye bags, you know, puffiness. They've got a vitamin C serum. They've got it all. They've got a microbiome shield that is a probiotic moisturizer where it's literally the same probiotics that are in yogurt that you eat because you know that it's good for your gut. Well, guess what? It's good for your face too. It's going to target fine lines. It's going to target sunspots. It's going to target discoloration. It's going to target redness. You are going to love all the Genucel products, and you can go to genucel.com/Y, save over 70% off right now on Genucel's most popular package featuring their Ultra Retinol and Dark Spot Corrector. Do not wait. That's a great deal. 70% off. You can't beat it. Go to genucel.com/Y. All orders upgraded to a free shipping, and every subscription order includes a complimentary spring spa box with 3 spa essentials, also for free over at genucel.com/Y. That is genucel.com/Y. Those of you who are watching on YouTube, maybe you've just found this program. Maybe you've been watching for a while, but if you're watching, we would appreciate it if you would, you know, just give us a gentle tapping on that thumbs up showing that you like this program. Subscribe. I swear every day I keep getting more comments that people are like, yeah, well, I was unsubscribed somehow, so I had to go and resubscribe. Go check and make sure you're subscribed. Comment, let us know what you think on the news of the day. I want to move over to this, the leaker. Jack Teixeira. And we talked about him yesterday. He had just been arrested, obviously, yesterday. And some of the, you know, the leaks that he exposed to this Discord server were the West plan to arm and train the Ukrainian army, the state of its inventory of armor and artillery. By the way, the exact pace at which Ukraine is firing its ammo each day, none of that looks good for Ukraine, by the way. How many U.S. troops we have in Ukraine? A lot. Zelensky was being spied on by the U.S. There was a lot that he released in those leaked documents. And so the leaker of these documents apparently had also told these members of this Discord server that federal agencies allowed the 2022 shooting at a Buffalo supermarket to happen so that they could use the event to argue for more funding. He said the government hides what he called horrible truths from the public. And it's just fascinating because, you know, we talked about it on the program yesterday, but you have a media who was more concerned with tracking down this leaker's name. Who is this leaker? Then perhaps doing what I think the leaker was trying to do, their job, right? Like exposing the corruption, you know, the evilness that lies within the federal government. And nobody seems to be concerned about that. Everyone's talking about, oh my gosh, the leaker who leaked all of this information. All of a sudden, they don't have the same whistleblower, you know, considerations that they did whenever it was someone within the Trump administration leaking something every 10 freaking seconds.
Well, that goes to show that what we have, I mean, look, journalism isn't a real occupation anymore, at least not to what we see in the mainstream. And so that doesn't at all surprise me, especially when you consider the actions and how they've treated other people that have leaked certainly information, and now they've become public enemy number one. This guy's about to be tortured 24/7 probably for the next year, so he's going to have it out bad. went the route of Discord. That was certainly interesting to put that in from. It's such a young person thing to do there. But yeah, of course they're not going to care.
They'll stay here.
Yeah,
it's a members only invitation. Yeah, Discord. That was, no one will ever see it.
I'm not sure why they went that route. But that is, you bring up a great point that the people that you would think will look at, okay, let's look at what was leaked and let's make sure that we understand, first of all, whether or not this is true and certainly what those implications are. I think when we use the term, you hear the term false flag used all the time about that shooting recently. I think people wrongfully understand what that is. They often think of false flag as like something that is orchestrated and planned out.
Completely manufactured.
Yeah, manufactured. And no, what was described would certainly fit the bill of a false flag in the sense that, well, they knew something was going to happen, but because of the benefits of allowing it to play out and whatever sort of plan that they had or they could conjure up around that,
right,
that's absolutely what that is. So if that is indeed true and something that's happened, I think we've seen that happen over the course of recent American human history, and I would hope people look more so into, when you see these mass shootings and all that weird stuff exists, it's a little more than what meets the eye. But yeah, you can't expect that all the journalists or any of those guys, managing guys, to do their job and look at, well, screw who did it. Not to say that maybe that's not important to you guys, but let's talk about the information. And if it is valid, who that incriminates and what that certainly entails, you'd think the American public should want to know that or understand it at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think that his, obviously I would like to see proof that the Buffalo supermarket shooting, right? Like, I want to see proof, but clearly this man does have access to documents. Should he have had access? Absolutely not. We still don't know how he had access, but he did have access to documents that were very highly classified. So I would entertain the idea that what he is saying is true, because number one, I don't trust the government at all. But number two, he had access to non-public information. So let's listen to the guy and see what he has to say. Unfortunately, we're never going to know, but I wouldn't put it past the government.
Yeah, it's one of those cases where instead of just coming out and like, oh, that's not true, they're like, okay, well, we got to arrest this guy. It's like the Snowden thing. And they know that people are just going to move on and forget within a few days anyways. But yeah, I mean, it just confirms what we already know and suspect about the way our government operates. I can't even remember the last mass shooting where we didn't find out later that some level of law enforcement was involved chose to stand down, because we are being governed by probably the most sophisticated conglomeration of power in like human history. And these people know everything. If they want to go after somebody, they can. They know what people are up to. And so if they are doing something or not doing something, it's probably because it's going to achieve their ends, or it's going to move the ball down the field for them, whether it's the thing in Ukraine or it's stuff that goes on here domestically with these mass acts of violence. And they don't, Eric makes a great point. They don't have to necessarily even orchestrate it, because their orchestration is breeding a society that would drive people to that point, and then just like stepping back and then being like, oh, that's a problem. I guess we got to take your guns.
Yeah, that's a great point. I want to move to what's going on in Tennessee. Obviously, it was a dark day, that fateful day when there was an insurrection at the Tennessee Capitol. And we saw the members of the House expelled, who have now, been reinstated. Wow, that was such a horrible penalty. Great job, GOP. Now they've already been reinstated, so it was all for nothing. But this Representative Justin Jones, who Eric and I talked about last week, he was reinstated to his position Monday. And there has been new footage that has emerged from 2020, the Summer of Love, as we know, that shows this Justin Jones, same guy, representative, is supposed to be. We used to, take pride in that, have people who represented us well. And this guy over in 2020 was assaulting drivers who were on the streets during the Black Lives Matter protests, which is what these, if you're watching, those of you who are listening on video, I'm sorry, on audio podcast, this is him stealing taking a cone? He's taking a traffic cone, blocking the car. He's the one in the hat. So there he is at the window, and you can see him leaning all the way in. Now, as you're watching this, I want you to know, you may be thinking, well, Surely he had charges pressed against him. Well, no, because there are a bunch of Democrats who are, you know, in the DA's offices who are just dropping charges. I saw one person go, well, he didn't have any charges pressed, so obviously everything was fine. Like, well, no, we saw what he did. Just because the DA's office decided that they didn't want to press charges against anyone if they held their fist up in solidarity with Black Lives Matter, but if you attended a MAGA rally with a red hat, you're going to be thrown away in prison for life. But it's very troubling to me how far it's rotted when it comes to who we elect to represent us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it used to be like such an esteemed position. And now we just have Eric would call all of them criminals.
Yes.
And they are to a degree. They're, they're making shady investment deals because they have insider information. Like, they're all criminals. But we're talking about someone who can go out on the streets of the state which they represent and assault people and still hold office. That's really scary to me.
Well, look, if you guys paid attention in 2020, when these mug shots and all this stuff would come out of these protesters that, well, I use that term loosely, rioters, who were, be it inflicting property damage, violence, and a lot of them, especially out, you know, west, where you had like in Portland and stuff, they were like teachers, they were mm-hmm. working within the school system. This is something that is very similar to that. And that you have now these, particularly people my age and younger, who are now entering in these positions, be it in the school system, be it in government, who are absolutely participating in, let's say, that bad behavior. And I think that's been that case for a little bit. It just, in 2020, it shed light on how deep it actually is and how far these guys have infiltrated. They've long been complicit. So, you know, this is the long game that leftists had historically played, in that they looked at it like, we don't need the best ideas. We don't need the brightest people. All we need to do is infiltrate their institutions that people look up to, as if it's like, to your point, people look at like representatives as these guys that have at least some sort of a moral high ground. They're supposed to be the better of us. I'm not saying I have that position, but a lot of people do. Same thing with our teachers. Mm-hmm. Same thing with even doctors, even for this matter. And you're seeing from the medical system to the educational system and in your own government, they have all these crackhead ass activists who work for them, who are in positions of power. That's mm-hmm. how deep it is. So I guess the next question that we all have to really face ourselves with and answer is, what do we do having been presented with that information and you know that this is who's governing either you, at least in some capacity?
Right. John, it was not just 2020. In February 2019, this is so wild to me. He was barred from the Capitol because he attacked a former House Speaker in Tennessee, threw coffee at a Republican representative and screamed that the representative was a racist. And now all of a sudden he just works there.
You know, in El Salvador, they don't have to deal with things like this anymore, because they understand, you know, libertarians, they make this point a lot, and it's absolutely true. Like, the state has a monopoly on violence. Like, that's sort of the foundation of the idea of a government. Like, we're going to do the violent stuff so that you guys don't have to. Mm. And if you don't acknowledge that, and I'm not calling for violence, I'm really calling for, like, mass imprisonment, because these people are, like, incompatible with what we regard to be Western civilization. And if we keep pretending that that's not true, and we don't put the people who need to be in prison where they're fully locked down, you're going to have to like democratize prison for everybody. So now Sarah Gonzalez is going to have to wait if she wants to go buy a razor blade because someone's going to have to come and unlock a cabinet. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, your daughter's not going to be able to leave the house after 8 p.m. because it's dangerous outside, because we aren't doing what needs to be done to maintain like a peaceful civilization. I mean, we used to, and that actually is an infringement upon freedom insofar as I am now less free to live my life expediently and how I want. And you can say, well, you still can, there's just greater risk. Well, it's like, okay, in practical terms, no, you're not as free if you can't go walk throughout the downtown areas of a city because you might get killed. Like, yeah, you still can do it. You won't get arrested. But there is something to be said about the lack of the mitigation of that potential violence, because people know that if you don't have a safe society, it's better for those in power because people aren't as trusting. Mm-hmm. They don't have as much pride in their cities or their towns or their communities or anything like that. And it's like, if you don't even have pride in it, then what's the point of trying to conserve it or fight for it?
Right. Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and talk Joe and Hunter Biden. We'll give you the latest after that. First, I want to thank our sponsor, Scoremaster. So charging higher interest is obviously how banks make more money. money, and they take a lot more of your hard-earned money if your credit score is, I don't know, maybe meh, but not so great. ScoreMaster is the new science in accelerating credit scores. It puts you in control of your money, not the bank. So let's say your credit is 650, you want to borrow 500 grand to refi your home. Starting at ScoreMaster could save you over 75 grand in interest over the life of your loan or more. That is 75 grand. That's your money. You get to keep it, not the banks. That's the genius behind the ScoreMaster three-week rule, especially now with soaring interest rates. It just takes a minute to get started. You can add 30 to 100 points in about 3 weeks, depending on your credit file. So if you're looking to apply for any sort of loan or auto lease, you got to start at ScoreMaster. You can go to scoremaster.com/news to try ScoreMaster for free. No reason not to do it. That is scoremaster.com/news. So Joe Biden took Hunter Biden to Ireland this week. It was Hunter and Joe, and I believe Hunter's aunt, flew off to Ireland this week despite continued scrutiny by congressional committees investigating the Biden family's foreign business dealings. Back in 2011, which they're, of course, investigating now, Hunter's partners at the newly defunct investment from Rosemont Seneca Partners discussed making contacts to expand their energy investments in various state-owned investment funds, including Ireland. Devin Archer, the then CEO of the firm, suggested that someone from Rosemont Seneca reach out to Dan Rooney, the then U.S. ambassador to Ireland, in order to gain connections to the Irish government. And Archer later wrote, ideas we could follow up on. Ireland, ask for intro through Rooney. And then the firm's former president, Eric Schwerin, say that five times fast, suggested to Devin and Hunter that an informal meeting with Rooney could be arranged during the St. Patrick's Day festivities in Washington, D.C. the following week. He said, Ireland, I assume there may be some opportunities to informally connect to Rooney et al. At the St. Patrick's Day stuff next week, then formally follow up afterwards. So, fascinating, guys. This stuff is likely still happening right under our eyes that, you know, Joe Biden's just like, oh, Hunter's never been to Ireland before. I got to take him. Come on, Hunter. And we know that they had previously already been trying to build and form these connections to Hunter and his shady business dealings. Would you be shocked, Eric, if it was just still happening right underneath our noses?
Well, no, I expect it to still be happening. And I also expect it, and that's not to dumb the situation down, that there are other members of Congress and members of government that are also doing some, let's say, shady stuff or taking advantage of it, trying to, well, their position it is of power, to make a lot of money. I mean, think about this, guys. How in the hell do you think that definitely someone like Joe Biden, who is not a businessman by any means, he's been in government for, I mean, hell, longer than any of us have been alive.
I think it's about 235
years. Yeah, something like that. And it always is the case. Even guys that are there for, let's say, a couple of terms in Congress, how their net worth just completely explodes and they are worth millions upon millions of dollars. You think that they're just getting that legitimately?
Right.
Like, because their salary does not call for that. So where else are they going to get it? Well, they do stuff like this. And, yeah, if you can, and it's like, this is mafia-esque. It's like, all right, well, you know, we're going to have a family member sort of act like they're kind of doing everything, even though you're just as much a part of the process as anybody else. You just don't want it to connect all the way back to you. We're long beyond that, at least for Joe Biden. We know that he's involved in all this stuff, and it's not like anything's gonna happen to them. But, I mean, you can make the argument that the vast majority of these cats in government, definitely at least the ones that aren't businessmen, that's exactly what it is that they're doing. They're trying to leverage their positions of power to get wealth and amass all sorts of wealth. And if that means working with other countries, criminals in other countries, they will absolutely do that. They do not care about selling off any sort of assets by way of the American people to do so, or selling the soul, that is, of the American people and the government itself. If you think that it does have one, That's to be expected, at least in my honest opinion.
I can't think of a different reason for Hunter Biden actually showing his face now that we know all that we know about him, now that he's being investigated in so many ways. It's like, you're just going to gallivant around to Ireland with your dad and pretend like nothing happened? It just seems bizarre to me.
Right. Well, you know what they say. I mean, you'll never beat the Irish. And I can't help but view this as sort of like a like an ancestral triumph. You know, if you look at how the Irish were treated by the British, and how the British Empire was ultimately usurped by the American Empire after World War II, to know that America is now being puppeteered by the 32 counties is actually like, it brings me a sense of joy in a way.
John, you are one of a kind.
Thank you.
To this story, I want to throw one more piece of this. A former Obama administration staffer has said that he is willing to testify under oath that in 2014, that Vice President, of course, then Vice President Joe Biden was involved in, to Eric, your point, a kickback scheme. He said that the kickback scheme included Hunter Biden and Ukrainian gas firm Burisma, which is just what we've been talking about for how many years? It's difficult for me. I went back and when Glenn was doing his chalkboard specials, and I was like, I was blown away at the year that that happened because it was much longer ago than I remembered it being.
Yeah.
And since then, it's like we just get this recurring, oh, look, Fox News picked up that it turns out that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden were involved in a kickback scheme with Burisma. Oh, look, this person is now willing to testify under oath. It's like, well, we've been telling you guys this for years.
We talked about it on the show before this whole, not to say that there hadn't always been at least some sort of conflict between Russia and Ukraine before it really like kicked off. As of recently, we talked about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and their sort of.
It was when they were trying to impeach Donald Trump over a phone call.
Over this whole deal, and we talked about
trying to expose it.
Right. We talked about Ukraine and Joe Biden. It's like, you know, we consider all what's going on right now. It's like, yeah, of course, there's sort of some vested interest, not just from the United States government, but. That Joe Biden certainly has in Ukraine. It's almost as if he, you know, he has some conflicting interest there. But, you know, the American people are presented with this information and do absolutely nothing about it. And I'm not saying that to blackpill everybody because I do want you to do something about it. I'm not saying that you should go march on the Capitol and kick your feet up on Nancy Pelosi's death. That's not even that effective by any means. But we know they're a bunch of criminals. I don't know. Is it the education system? And I'm not saying that as like a catch-all. I'm saying what in the hell happened to where it's ingrained in our minds that they're supposed to be good. And when we're presented with information that they're objectively bad or at minimum shady people, it's like we just shrug our shoulders. I don't know.
All right, we've got to take a quick break. We will be back with more. But first, we want to remind you guys, if you have not yet seen Steve Dace, his book Nefarious, A Nefarious Plot, is now a movie, and you got to go see it. It came out this weekend. It's opening weekend. You got to go see it. Eric has seen it.
Yes. I also had Sean Patrick Flannery, who is a star. We talked to him earlier this week on my channel. He has some great insight on the movie. You guys should go check that out. But absolutely, he even told me that if you see no other movie by him, this needs to be it. He said it's the most important film that he's ever acted
that he's ever done. I mean, that's huge. And look, you're going to see the movie poster and you're going to be like, that looks too scary to me. It's a psychological thriller. OK, it's why it's rated R. It doesn't have a bunch of cursing. It doesn't have a bunch of gore.
Yeah,
it's not that kind of movie. It's purely the dialogue that makes it so thrilling. And you're going to love it. And I'm just going to tell you, it is spiritual. It's Steve Dace, so it is spiritual. It's got a spiritual aspect. But it is what is going to drive culture. This is the type of movie that is going to drive culture. And that is why it is so important that you need to bring your non-believing friends as well to go see this movie. Everyone will love it. It's not like in-your-face religious, okay? It's awesome. You got to go see it. You can get your tickets now at whoisnefarious.com. It is here nationwide. Don't miss out. Go to whoisnefarious.com. All right. Now it's Friday, so we're going to do another segment of Dear Sarah. You guys have been sending so much of your, you know, you want some tips, you want some life advice. We're here for you. You can send us your question at DearSarah@TheBlaze.com. So today, here is one from Searching for a Spouse. I have a long and rather sad story, but I'll give you the basics. I'm a Christian, very active in my church, and father of two. 2 years ago, my wife of 6 years decided to abandon God and leave the kids and I for the coworker she was having an affair with. I fought hard for and won primary custody of the kids in October last year. Most of the chaos has settled down, and I am becoming more and more aware of things I alone cannot provide my children with. They need a mother, and their biological mom is clearly not interested in being more than a friend. I'm 32 and haven't dated or courted in any classical sense, basically ever. My marriage was due to almost more of a whirlwind situation. It's another long story. Suffice it to say, if I had known what I know now about trauma bonding, it wouldn't have gotten that far. At any rate, I'm at a loss and would appreciate your advice. I love the show. Thanks for taking the time to read this. Sincerely, Searching for a Spouse. So this story actually hits closer to home for my personal life than probably any of you out there know. Well, I guess you do now, but previous to this, you didn't. And I obviously, as you guys know, well, due to circumstances outside my control, I was divorced. So I know about the whole single parent thing and trying to navigate that. And I would say, you say you're very active in your church. Lean on that church. Lean on the motherly figures in that church, because you can only control what you can control. And of course, your child needs a motherly figure. But again, you can only control what you can control. I would also say it's healthy to want another spouse, but don't rush into things. I think that you can't be searching for a spouse. I think that you need to be open to a spouse. And that person, I think when the timing is right, will come into your life. That's just my personal opinion. I don't think that it helps you to be looking for them, because then that's the reason that you're going to remarry is for your kid, not for yourself. And then you could come into all sorts of problems later on down the road. And look, this is just my personal experience. I was not looking for love again, and it just so happened to find me, and I actually ran away from it for a very long time and then couldn't run away from it any longer. But I definitely I think you're on the right track with wanting that motherly figure. I just don't want you to search for it too hard. Let it find you. Gentlemen, we've got about a minute. You feel free to disagree with me.
No, I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, ironically, I'm the same exact age as him. I haven't gone through certainly that experience. I can only imagine. But I think he's in a good spot. I mean, you have to be, considering that you are a male. Yeah. And you got custody.
And you got primary custody.
So you must be a very good man.
Yeah.
If you were able to pull that off.
No kidding.
But yeah, I love your point of maybe leaning on figures maybe in the church to try to at least play that role.
Right.
That, you know, maybe you just simply can't, because, you know, you can't provide that aspect of it.
Yeah.
This stuff happens all the time, and it just shows how backward society is now. And I feel so badly for men that have stories similar to this, because, I mean, you knew what the red flags were. I mean, this woman spending more time with her male friend at work and things like that. And any ability for you as, like, the head of your household to say, like, no, you're actually not going to have male friends. No, I'm actually not comfortable with you working, let alone working full-time or long hours, because you understand that these things tend to happen when you have these male-female dynamics. Then all of her girlfriends would be like, he's controlling you. He's not, like, letting you live your life. And so all of the, like, social expectation that would have prevented things like this from happening decades ago are now gone. And it's just, like, a matter of time before this just keeps happening more and more. So God bless you.
Yeah, I mean, truly, God bless you. And we'll be praying for you and your children, because it's tough being a single parent, I feel ya. But we appreciate you reaching out, and we'll be right back. Well, I mentioned earlier, Joe Biden was in Ireland this week, and it's not going great for us, guys. The Speaker of the Irish Parliament was seen literally physically moving Joe Biden around for a photo. He seems to try to indicate to him, hey, we need to... All right, I'm just going to move you, okay? You need to move so we can have this photo. Hurry, laugh casually, like something's funny and we're not just changing your diaper every 20 minutes. And then it got worse, because Joe Biden was over at the Dublin Castle and he said this very inspirational speech, let's go lick the world, watch.
My heart, there's nothing our nations can't achieve if we do it together. I really mean it. So thank you all, God bless you all, let's go... Let's go lick the world. Let's get it done.
Let's go lick the world. Let's do it.
What was he? Is that like an old phrase, maybe a saying? Because what else could he have been trying to say?
Let us know in the comments if that's some sort of old-timey phrase that we're not aware of. John?
I don't know. I don't understand how people can, like, support this guy having any experience with elderly relatives. I mean, I saw my grandma last weekend for Easter. She's 85. Symptoms of Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And these people walk like Jenga towers on office chairs, you know, like very just sort of rolling around.
Yes.
No movement, just not trying to fall over.
crazy that they're doing this to him. All right, thanks, guys.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.